We're going to be reading from the book of Acts. So you want to get your Bibles turned to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to be reading quite a bit more than what we have printed in the bulletin, so be sure to be there. And again, a happy Father's Day and Grandfather's Day and Fathers-to-be Day or whatever that we have this day. My dad's been gone just right at 20 years now, and I miss him every day and wish he could be here. He might scold me a little bit after this sermon, and you'll see why here in a little bit, because that's just my dad, but happy Father's Day. So let's read in Acts 8. I'm going to begin in chapter 8, verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So we got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. And the passage that the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb silent before the shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, the Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. I'm not real big on sermon title names or catchy series names. I don't do a whole lot of that. But if I was going to give a name to this the next several weeks here, it might be, you know, "God loves you and me, so therefore he must have a sense of humor." Or subtitled, you know, "Did that just happen?" Or another one I thought was, you know, "You just don't make this stuff up." The next several weeks, you're going to probably see a different side of me here. Well, some of you probably not, but if you've gotten to know me over the last year, you know I have sort of a weird sense of humor. I laugh at things that sometimes other people don't see comical, but I do. And I'm finding that there are places in the Scripture that I definitely find humor in the passage. And maybe it wasn't intended to be comical or funny, but today, to me, what's going on there, or how I see what's going on or interpret what might be going on, it's peculiar and it's strange. And sometimes it makes me laugh. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to do that. You're going to find some of these passages you've probably heard before, but you're going to see a crooked, twisted side of me that, you know, that sees some funny things in here that maybe you've never seen before. But regardless of that, I think God still uses humor. I think he invented humor, and I think he uses it and these strange human conditions that we get caught up in to do his work. And ultimately, these stories, yeah, they could be amusing, but you will see God's work drawing people to himself. So about this story here, you know, we don't know all of the background on the story. So I want you to kind of begin to picture what might be going on here. And so if you will humor me just a little bit, we're going to use some props here. Oh, myself. I'm okay. And I want us to get a little better picture of what might be happening. So that was my yesterday afternoon project. And we don't know. We don't know all the background here, but here's this guy, and He's caught up in a chariot. And who is this? We need to fill in the gaps here. I want to try to envision what this looked like. Well, tradition tells us the guy's name, the guy in the chariot, his name was Simeon Bacchus. That's not biblical. It's extra biblical. We just don't know quite what all was there. And this was the name that some of the church fathers had given him because they carried on tradition beyond what was in the Bible. So we have this chariot here, and I think that because, you know, he was probably in some higher elevated state in the queen's court. He probably was dressed somewhat, you know. Sure, it was like this. I don't know. And he probably had some things that probably, you know, these. You see these in the movies, you know. And he was of some higher status, some higher rank. He's in his chariot, clothed with some of the signs that would have probably put him higher up than some of the other people. And the scripture says he's entrusted with the queen's money. And he was trusted. I gotta be a little careful here. He was trusted for not because of who he was or his status, but it had a lot to do with his anatomy. And I'm gonna be careful how I say this. I'm gonna allow you parents to go home and explain it further to your children. I'll set this up. But he was, because of his anatomy, he was trusted. And maybe the nicest way to say this, he had part of his manliness taken away so that he could be trusted among the queen and among the court and among the harem and anybody that would have been there. And that's what made him a eunuch. And so that's why he was given this status. And so he had this done here, and I'm thinking about, well, you know, also from Ethiopia, what would have he had here? And I thought this was appropriate. It's got a leopard print on it, and it's also fashioned in a cocktail hat. So I think this is accurate. You can imagine the face on the lady at the boutique when I'm buying this thing yesterday, you know. So yeah, it's got a little leopard print on it, which, you know, is Ethiopia, and it does have the cocktail hat look to it, which is very eunuch. You getting that? And for sure, the guy in the chariot, if you've read this before, and here you're understanding a little bit of my twisted sense of humor, is not Charlton Heston that would have been in Ben-Hur. You know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson would not be this guy. Get me? He's a unique character here. And he goes to Jerusalem to worship. But he cannot. He can't do it. He's going to have serious limitations on how he can worship when he goes there. He would have not been allowed to go in, not because of his race, he's from Ethiopia, not because of his faith. We don't know if he was a Jew, maybe he was a converted Jew, we don't know, but that's not what restricted him. He was restricted because of, again, his anatomy. In Deuteronomy, the law says no eunuch can enter into this worship, into the congregation of the people. So he didn't get to go there as well. So the law kept him from that. And I'm thinking, you know, this poor guy, you know, he is who he is. And he serves the queen. And, you know, for sure there was a time in our lives for a man to serve a woman would have been something different. Not anymore. You know, it's common nature for us now for a male to serve under a woman. But in those times, I don't know. But what made him available to work for the woman was, again, his anatomy. So that's part of who he is. He's far from where he can worship. In Ethiopia, they wouldn't have been able to do this. So he's got to go this long way to go there. When he gets there, he can't worship. He is an outcast. And I think if I was casting a person to play this in the movie, no, it wouldn't have been Charlton Heston. It wouldn't have been Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Probably would have been somebody like Nathan Lane or Jim Parsons, who plays, you know, who is it? Sheldon on The Big Bang Theory, you know, because he just would have... I knew Mike would get that. I knew he would get that. And he's trying, you know, here he is, he's on this road and all this stuff, he's recollecting on who he is and what he's about and what he can't do, and he opens up his scroll and he's trying to read, and, you know, to add insult to injury, he's reading the stuff, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. And then Philip arrives. And what do you suppose Philip would have said? You know, God tells him to go down and meet up with him. And he runs alongside this chariot and he sees, you know, here I am. He sees this and he's thinking, really, God? And he asks him, you know, do you understand what you're reading? And he replies, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him and read along the passage. And so I'm sure that when Philip got in, he could finally say, fabulous, and he'd get in and go. So I see this as you're probably seeing a side of me you really didn't want to see here, but I see this as just being something that is quite an odd scene. And no, a lot of that is not in the scripture. I made a lot of that up, but you know, we do have to fill in the gaps and find out what is going on here. And I can't help to wonder that God doesn't have a little bit of a sense of humor in all of this. And to make this all happen and how he finds us in these weird predicaments that we're in, and we call him to be able to use that for his glory and his work. So I can't wait to meet these guys. I look forward to a time when I can actually meet up with Simeon and I can meet up with Philip to find out how this story really played out. And would have they known at the time, would have the eunuch understood, I still have that thing on my head, I don't do it, it still feels like it's up there. Would have they understood what was going on? Did Philip really understand the impact of what happened that day on that road that had headed to Gaza? We don't know. But the passage that was given, the passage that our buddy was reading on the scroll that he didn't get, comes from the book of Isaiah. And he only includes just a little bit of that, but this is a very familiar passage that we know. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 53. And I want to read a little bit more of the story so you can remember what it is that this is about. And Isaiah says in verse 4, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. And here's where you've heard this before. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who could speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. Later on in that same passage it says, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So that is the passage that he's reading, and this eunuch, this Ethiopian man, asks Philip, who is he talking about? Is he talking about him or someone else? And Luke writes in Acts, then Philip began to speak to him. Starting with this scripture, he proclaimed him the good news about Jesus. And so, you know, I don't want to be completely disrespectful in my get-up that we had here, but I wanted to maybe draw a little bit light about who this person was, this eunuch, this chamberlain. And I think one of the takeaways from this is I think that man represents perhaps one of the best people to hear the good news. Because certainly this man was one of the very first converts to Christianity. And isn't it unique who he picks? Someone that was probably an outcast. Someone who, in the eyes of the Jewish people, no doubt, or for sure the people of the beginning church would have looked at and said, I don't know. You know, we kind of make these judgments about people here. And I think he clearly didn't meet the expectations of who could be God's people. And so what does Philip do? Well, he didn't have the luxury of having, you know, 30 different translations of the Bible on his iPad. The Bible didn't come about. The New Testament didn't come about for centuries later. But he begins to tell him this story, and what a great piece of scripture that fits for Philip to be able to tell this man what he just witnessed in Jerusalem the past months and weeks and years that he would have known the Christ and what had taken place. And so what did he tell him? We don't know. It just says that he tells him the story of who Jesus was and how that fits this prophecy that Isaiah would have written hundreds of years before Christ came and did what he did. So I don't know what he would have said, what it would have been in that message. He got to see so much there that I'm sure that little chariot ride there was a long one because he had so much to tell him. And what happened? Well, down the road a little bit, the eunuch says, well, what prevents me from being baptized? So whatever Philip presented to this Simeon compelled him to a decision. He heard what Philip said and he responded positively. So in spite of this man's circumstances, the man from Ethiopia was doing, what was he doing that was right? You know, I poked fun at him a little bit, and I poked fun at him a lot here, but he was doing some things that I think were just spot on. And the best word I can use to describe it is this eunuch was seeking. He was a seeker. He was a man of faith that definitely is displayed in his actions here. He lived a long ways away. He was from Ethiopia. He was the queen's attendant. And he traveled in a chariot, you know, a long way to get to the place where he could worship. So he was faithful. He was obedient to his faith. And he was in the Word of the time. No, it wasn't an electronic version of the Bible. It wasn't even the New Testament of the Bible. It was a scroll that he picked up at the bookstore in Jerusalem, perhaps, that was the book of Isaiah. And he was reading, and he was studying, and he was pondering. He was contemplating what the Word of God was. And later on, he no doubt heard some of the teaching of Christ that said, seek and you will find, ask and the door will be answered. Because he was seeing fulfillment of that right then. Philip was the answer at that point, or the messenger of what he was seeking. So yeah, we do have Philip and we have Simeon Baptist, the Ethiopian eunuch that's in the story. But that is not the primary character of this story. It's neither Philip nor the eunuch. It's the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is all about the Holy Spirit working through this new beginning of the church here. And 9 times in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. So that tells us a lot about who the main character of the story really is. Yeah, I can make fun of what these people would have looked like and what their dialect would have been and how they would have responded here, but that's not the main character. The main character is the Holy Spirit. Because he is the one that Philip to go do this. This is where you're at. I want you to go do this. He was the one that snatched him away. I want to see that replay. After they came up out of the water, the scripture says, and Philip was snatched away. I take that to believe that was some sort of supernatural thing. He's taken away and he's gone. And the man from Ethiopia is left there to go on and do his thing. The power of the Holy Spirit there. And no doubt it was the Holy Spirit working on this man's life to receive the good news of Christ. I think sometimes our view of how God works in people is that he is far off on some cloudy throne room way far away and he's peering down through his telescope to kind of see what's going on. But I just don't think that's the case. The last several weeks, we talked about the Holy Spirit, and one of the passages I kept bringing up was when Jesus is telling his disciples about him leaving. And in John 6:7, he says, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage, it's for your good that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. If you've heard that verse once, you've heard it 10 times in the last 6 weeks, because we keep coming back to this. God is not this far off God peering down through his telescope to see what's going on. He's near. Jesus has gone to the Father, but just as he said, I'm sending another. I'm sending the Holy Spirit here to be with you, he told them. And now this scene takes place just a short time later. Just days and weeks after this, we see him again in the presence of the Holy Spirit working through Philip. God, this person, the Holy Spirit, is present in this scene. there as the disciples were beginning their ministry and doing their work and guiding them and empowering them, and he was in their presence. He's there with Philip, and he guides this encounter. He guides this soul as he hears the word of about Christ. He, no doubt, is the one that convicts him to make this decision. And he was the one that carried Philip away. He's not some far-off God who once in a while shows up. He is right here, and he's right here. And so then I wonder, you know, if he could use this person who was no doubt written off by many of the people of the time, could he maybe not use me? Could he maybe not use us? Could he not find us on where we are on our road and in our circumstances to reveal what his word is for us in our journey as we explore his word? Can he in his kingdom building away? Could he not take whatever history we have, whatever background, whatever circumstances, whatever socioeconomic place we are at, what our lot is in life, whatever past sins we have, whatever our pedigree is or race, does that matter? Could he use that in a way that he used this man from Ethiopia? So maybe, you know, maybe I'm like Philip here. Maybe I am in this mix of building, the kingdom of God. Maybe I'm ready to be commissioned to do work, or you as well. Maybe I am being instructed by the Holy Spirit to go to such and such and say such and such, or love them in this way, as God instructed Philip to do to this man from Ethiopia. Maybe I could be in growing his kingdom. You know, just a little bit of backup on Philip here, because I think he's a man of faith as well. If you back up and read a little bit more of the story, I'm not gonna go back and spend a lot of time on this, but the gist of it is this. If you back up just a little bit, Philip is actually in Samaria, which is north of Jerusalem. He's doing good work. He's performing these signs, and people are converting to this new faith, and people are being healed, and great things are going on. So much so that Peter and John, who are in Jerusalem, come up to check it out. What's this ministry going on out there? And they go and see, and things are really good, and the things are happening. And Peter and John stay there for a while, allow this church thing to grow, and then they head back to Jerusalem to do their thing. And God calls Philip to go down to Gaza, to this wilderness place. Now, again, I'm going to interject a little bit of Joel's personality here. If I was Philip, you know, I'm thinking, it's happening here in Samaria. We got this church going. You know, it's going good here. And these guys are going back down to Jerusalem. We know it's going good down there. I want to be a part of that. And God says, no, Philip, I want you to go down here. And that word there that we have is, it's desolate. It means it was a solitary or lonely, uninhabited place. It was wilderness, lonely regions. Eremos is the word that we get the word wilderness. And, you know, I don't know. It's pretty cool here in Samaria, and I know Jerusalem good. You want me to go? I would have doubted, right? But he goes. And he does this, and what he would have got there and saw who it was that he was to encounter. Again, I know what I'd think. Really? Is this really what you want me to do? But he did. He was obedient to the Holy Spirit in his life. So maybe I'm like Philip, or maybe I'm like the charioteer. Maybe I need the Holy Spirit to show me what it is that I'm reading. Maybe he needs to take these scriptures that I'm studying and make them alive and make my hearing and my seeing a living thing to make sense of all this. Know that what it is that I am being centered upon. And then I need to respond to that. I need to learn to recognize his grace and his mercy and then respond accordingly. But just like our chariot folk here, I need to seek. I need to constantly be looking. When we become followers of Christ, that doesn't mean we stop looking. We stop looking for him. We don't. We stay in his word. We stay in worship. we stay in fellowship with other people and we stay in prayer. There is some non-biblical history of Simeon Bacchus that says that he did go on down to Ethiopia and do great things. We don't know that, but he's one of the churches that have made him a saint because of the work that he did. And we, you know, it's not scriptural. There's some history for that. We don't know for sure. We don't know how perhaps he has affected others' lives. But I was reminded a few years ago, I was trying to track a little bit of my dad's ancestry because there was so much of that that got lost, and I thought it was appropriate for Father's Day here. And I remember running across a pastor in northeast Indiana, somewhere up in the Middlebury area, and I connected with him through some emails a little bit about his great-grandfather. This preacher's great-grandfather was also a pastor in the Akron, Ohio area, and he was part of a Brethren church. And he met my grandmother, and he led my grandmother to the Lord. And as a result of that, my grandmother led my dad to the Lord as well. And because of my dad's influence on me, I became a follower as well. And I connected with this guy that probably didn't mean much to his great-grandson, who's preaching up in Middlebury or somewhere, that his great-grandfather touched the life of my grandmother, who touched my father, who touched and influenced me as well. He may not have thought it was a big deal, but to me, it was a pretty big deal. Some 100 years ago, what a man did to a little old lady in Akron, Ohio has affected me. I say that because we just simply don't know the long-term effects of our own ministry. Have ministries, our witness. We don't know. We don't know what the effects of loving someone else would be, as Philip did to this outcast. But the influence of the ministry of this eunuch, who knows? Who knows what happened, what he did in Ethiopia? Maybe he started something going there. Who touched a life? Who touched a life? Who touched a life? Who touched a guy back in 1924 that touched my grandmother? You don't know. We don't know how we are connected to the acts that people have done through the work of the Spirit. And just as in this book of Acts, and in this scene that we tried to play out here a little bit, the Holy Spirit is present to do and to work through our lives to accomplish His work. He was present there, and He's present here, and we mustn't ever forget that. This is the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit that is present in our lives to act in ways that will enhance the kingdom through us. But like Philip and this chariot rider, we have a role to play. We need to be in a position to hear His word and then respond in obedience to that word when He speaks to us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for Your word. And we thank You for the stories that have been preserved for so long. And we thank You that we can take ancient stories and make them relevant to our lives and hopefully make our lives relevant then to the truth that they reveal. Father, we thank You for this time we have as worshipers today. We want to constantly be reminded of Your literal presence in our lives. Allow us to recognize that day by day and strengthen us to respond accordingly. Amen. Let's stand and sing page 593. Here I am, Lord.